That is easily the cutest video I have ever seen in my entire life. That was so awesome. Anyways, welcome to Ugly Sweater Christmas Sunday this year. My name is Kyle, and I just wanted to say that every year you guys impress me with how ugly you decide to make a sweater. I loved Mavericks in particular, how he had a backpack. I thought that was really awesome and super creative. But this Sunday is super near and dear to my heart. So I've been at High Point for about 2.5 years, but Ugly Christmas Sweater Sunday 2 years ago was the first Sunday I got really involved. And we had a photo booth just like we did today. And if you didn't get a chance to take a picture before the service, that's okay. You can take one after. That's totally all right. And so we had a photo booth, and we had a real Santa Claus. We had Trevor Jastad as Santa Claus. And then Great and I were both volunteered to be Santa's helpers, or elves. So I walked into the leader meeting that day, not expecting to really do anything. And they're like, "Hey, Kyle, we have this really awesome elf costume for you to wear. You should totally wear it and try it on and then be in every single picture with every student ever." And me being brand new was like, sure, I mean, how bad can it be, right? It's going to be awesome. So here's a few of the pictures from that year just because it was oh so memorable. So here's one picture. And so one of the best parts was the striped shirt they gave me was not the right size. So it was tight and had this really awesome collar. So that was really cool. Go ahead and go to the next one. And it was fun because there were some awkward poses, which, I mean, you kind of need for a sweater Sunday like this. And the last one is my favorite because this outfit required me to wear green tights. So it was an epic Sunday all the way around, and I was just excited to be a part of a youth group that allowed me to wear tights on a Sunday to church. So anyway, perfect. Thanks for taking that down. Anyways, we are in a series right now called The Trinity, and we're sort of talking about who God is and through the three different persons of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So the Trinity is a really complicated concept to understand. No, none of us really understand what it is because as Christians, we believe that there is one God. There's one God. But that this same God shows himself in three different persons. So through God the Father, God the Son, who is Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit. And so because we can't really explain this very clearly, we think of these really, I'm going to call them pretty dumb ways to describe God and describe the Trinity. So one way that I've heard the Trinity described is like a pie, like a nice warm key lime pie, for instance, because I like key lime pie. So anyways, it's like a pie. So you have one pie, right? That's one. But you can cut a pie into three slices. And because it's key lime, it sort of oozes back together. And so there are three pie slices, but it's still one pie. So that's one way to describe God, I guess. And the other way I've heard is like an egg, right? So an egg is one. It has one thing. It's the egg. But it's also got the shell, the yolk, and the egg white. Those are pretty cheesy ways to describe the Trinity, right? And we really shouldn't try and dumb God down this way because basically we're like, hey, guys, so God is like a key lime pie. That just doesn't make any sense. But we try and do that because the Trinity is just, it's just hard to understand. One normally doesn't equal three, but with God, it does. So anyways, this week we are going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about God the Son. And this week I want to talk about Jesus in a way that was sort of different than we sometimes talk about him because we tend to talk about who Jesus is, right? Like, who was he? Well, he was God. Talk about things he did on earth. We read through the Gospels, and we read stories about Jesus, miracles he performed, things like that. And then when we go to talk about why he's important, we say, well, why is he important? Why was Jesus important? Well, he never sinned. That's one reason he's important. He was born to a woman who'd never had sex before. That's pretty crazy. Like, that's different. So we talk about why he's important in those ways. But today I really want to talk about why Jesus matters to me and why Jesus should matter to you. And why as Christians do we change our lives and follow this guy named Jesus? Why? What is so important about him that we would turn and follow him? So we're going to start at Christmas. And if you're taking notes today on your fill-in sheet, the first fill-in is going to be that Christmas was the beginning of God's rescue plan. So number one reason that Jesus is important is because he comes to rescue us. So we're going to start out in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. So it says that God sent Jesus to rescue us from sin. God knew that we were going to be trapped by sin, that sin was going to ruin our lives, because way back in the day, Adam and Eve had sinned once, so sin was in the world, and so God knew that that was a problem. And because God knew that was a problem, he's like, I'm going to send Jesus to rescue all these people that I love so much. But I want to start out by defining sin, first of all. So sin is where we violate God's will, or when we do something that God has told us not to do. So we ignore God and we do what he tells us not to do. And another way that actually Gary just told me is that the original Greek word for sin means to miss the mark. So you aim, you shoot, and you miss the mark. It's kind of like every time I play basketball and I'm anywhere not next to the basket and I shoot, I will miss. Basically every time. So when you miss the mark, when I miss a basket, that's like sinning. That's how it's defined in the Bible. So it's missing the mark. And so God knew that we were going to be inaccurate free throw shooters, and so he sent Jesus to come rescue us from that and to help us hit that mark. But sometimes we don't always realize that we need to be rescued. We don't really think that we're missing the mark. We think we're right on target. A few years specifically for me, were when I was a freshman in college. I first got to PLU, and I was really excited to be in college. I was excited to move out. I was excited to be in a dorm. I was excited to take college classes, only have 3 classes a semester. I thought that was going to be really cool. But when I got to college, it was really important for me to be accepted by basically everybody. I wanted to be everybody's friend. I wanted to have a big friend group, and I really wanted to be friends with these people all the way through college so that after we graduated, we still were going to hang out. So friends and making friends was so important to me. And it became so important to me that I would change my schedule, I would change what I was doing, I would change my classes even sometimes, just to hang out with people. Like for instance, there were some days where I'd be like in my room studying, you know, because I was trying to be a good student. Studying means playing Xbox, but that's irrelevant. So I'd be in my room hanging out, and one of my friends would come by and be like, hey, Kyle, I'm gonna go have dinner. Have you eaten yet? I'd be like, oh, no, sure, like I'll come eat with you. And so I'd go eat dinner with them, and then I'd come back, and I'd, you know, start doing my homework or whatever I was doing, and then a different friend would come by and be like, hey, Kyle, I haven't eaten dinner yet. Have you eaten today? And I'd be like, well, I am full because I just ate, but I really want to hang out with them. So yeah, no, I haven't eaten yet. Let's say I'll go with you. So I'd go to dinner like 2 or 3 times in a day just to hang out with people. I would change my classes sometimes just to be in classes or sit next to people I really wanted to be with. Or sometimes my friends love to stay up until 5 in the morning just because we're in college and we can do that. And so even though I had an 8 o'clock class in the morning, I would stay up until 5 just to hang out with them just because I thought that was so important. But I thought that was okay. I didn't realize that I was changing who I was just to fit in. I didn't realize that my grades were dropping just to fit in. I didn't realize that I wasn't building any deep relationships because I just wanted to fit in. I thought everything was good. I thought I was hitting the mark. But ultimately, I needed to be rescued from that. But for a long time, I wasn't willing to realize that I needed help. And I feel like a lot of us go through a phase or, you know, a long period where we don't realize we need Jesus at all. We think we're tagging the mark each time. We don't think we're missing. It reminds me of Toy Story 3, actually. This is going to be a great example, don't worry. I live with Gary and Lindsay and little baby Jad and Jordan and Kevin. And Jad is now at the age where he loves to watch TV and movies and things like that. And his favorite movies are Toy Story and WALL-E. And so he'll run around the house going, Woody, Woody, WALL-E, WALL-E. And so he likes to watch Toy Story. And so I've seen Toy Story 3 a few times now. And the story of Toy Story 3. How many of you guys have seen Toy Story 3? Oh, nice. Perfect. This is good. I was hoping that was going to happen. So you know how Andy's getting ready to go to college, right? And so all the toys get sent in a bag, and they get sent to daycare, and then they think it's going to be like, okay, but Woody escapes because he finds out that pink bear is the evil character, which, go figure, the pink bear is the bad guy. But so Woody finds out that this pink bear is the bad guy and that life is going to be terrible for these toys. So Woody escapes, and then comes back to save all the rest of the toys. But the other toys, Buzz, Jessie, Slinky, the dinosaur, the horse, Potato Head, Mr. and Mrs. They're like, no, Woody, I love it here. We're being played with. There are kids everywhere. This is so great. I love this life. Andy abandoned us to go to college. I want to stay here. I don't want you to rescue me because I think everything is fine. But ultimately, Woody knew. He's like, guys, that big pink bear is going to make your lives really stink for a really long time. He's going to break you. Come with me. Let me save you. And they're like, no, Woody, it's okay. We'll be fine. And then ultimately, the big pink bear like has this big evil master plan, and Woody has to come back and save them in real life. And it's all a big mess. But ultimately, we have that same reaction sometimes. I know I had that exact same reaction of, I don't need to be saved. I don't need my life to change. I'm fine where I'm at. And then ultimately, it got to a point where I realized I had no deep relationships or anything like that. So whether we realize it or not, we need Jesus. We need him to save us from sin. We need him to help us hit the mark. Romans describes this. The book of Romans describes it. And it says that all of us have sinned. Every single one of us in this room has sinned. And all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody's missed the mark. Everybody's messed up. So because we've all messed up, we need to realize that we need Jesus to rescue us. So if we decide to take that step and follow Jesus, he gives us freedom. So if you're taking notes, your next fill-in is, Jesus is freedom. But I want to talk about freedom for just a second. Because a lot of times we can view freedom as the ability to do whatever we want. I get to do whatever I want. I get to say whatever I want. I get to hang out with whoever I want. I get to eat whatever I want, drink whatever I want, say whatever I want, come home at whatever time I want. That's complete freedom. Getting to do whatever I feel like. But what I want us to think about is that true freedom is being free from sin and being free to follow God. It's described so well in 1 Corinthians that when I first read this verse, I was really excited. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is where we're going to be in. It says that you say that I'm not allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food is made for the stomach and the stomach for food. And this is true, but someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And the Lord will, and God will raise us up from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. This verse is so cool because it describes this main thought about Christianity. I've heard this a lot from some of my non-Christian friends. Is they just think that following Jesus just means you have to follow a bunch of rules all the time. You know, you're not allowed to do anything. You're not allowed to have fun. You're not allowed to party. You're not allowed to, you know, do all this stuff. But this verse describes it so well. Verse 12 says, we might say that, oh man, if I'm a Christian, I'm not allowed to do anything. Life is going to be boring if I'm a Christian. I can't do anything fun. Life is going to suck. But ultimately, it's because not everything is good for us to do. That if God says, don't, I don't want you to do something, really what he's saying is don't hurt yourself. When God sets out rules and guidelines, he doesn't just say no just to be like, hey, I don't want you to have fun. I don't want you to experience this. I don't want you to have a good time. I want your life to be boring. He's like, I don't want you to do that because I don't want you to get hurt. I want to protect you. That's why he gives us rules. And this is true freedom. This is the freedom that Jesus gives us. Not that he gives us freedom to do anything we want, but that he gives us freedom from sin, that he gives us freedom to follow God. Because one area, back to my friend's story, when I would be really caught up in trying to hang out with him and trying to manage all my friendships, I was free at that point to hang out with anybody. I had a free schedule, you know, I had freedom to hang out with whoever I wanted, right? That's freedom, technically. But ultimately, I wasn't ever free to be myself. I wasn't ever free to do what I valued. I was never free to spend my time and my money the way that I wanted to because I was so concerned about being accepted that I would do anything to fit in. And ultimately, it wasn't good for me to have relationships like that because I became completely uncomfortable in my own skin. I didn't ever really figure out who I was because I was so busy trying to be somebody that was accepted. But now, because of Jesus, because of the freedom that he's given me, I don't care as much about what people think. I'm much more excited to just be who I am and do the little quirky, crazy things that I like to do. One instance is here at High Point. We're a little awkward here sometimes. You're all laughing. We all kind of get that. I know that a lot of times before service, up here is like a little dance party circle, and it's usually like great doing something that actually looks like dancing, and the rest of us just kind of like up here being awkward, which is cool. I love it. But when I first came here, I saw that, and I was like, man, that looks like a lot of fun. I'm not good at dancing, but that would be really cool to get up there and just like have a good time. But I was like, man, I don't want these people to think that I'm lame. Like I got to find out if it's cool first to be in the dance circle or not. But now I don't even care. Like if you guys think I'm weird and quirky, like that's fine. I think I'm weird and quirky too. So, but I love just being myself and having a great time and just doing what I feel comfortable doing. That's the freedom that Jesus has given me, not to worry about what other people think, but to be who he wants me to be. Sometimes the greatest testimony of what God has done in your life is feeling comfortable in your own skin. I'm sure you guys, like me, have a lot of insecurities. I know a lot of you do. And it's really easy to put up a mask, to try and fake it, to try and be somebody who people will like or people will think is cool. Put up barriers around your life to hide who you really are so that people don't actually get to know the real you. But when we do that, when we put up those barriers, when we feel uncomfortable being who we are, we're just pulled farther and farther and farther away from the mark. Because ultimately, God wants to give us the freedom just to be who we are and to feel comfortable in our own skin. But this freedom, it comes at a price. It's not cheap. It's not easy to get. But God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to earth to give us this freedom. And God demonstrates love through this in a really, really crazy way. So your next villain is going to be that love is demonstrated through sacrifice. And there are two verses I want to use to describe this and sort of paint this picture of what real love actually looks like. So the first one is in 1 John chapter 4. It says, because of this, the love of God is a reality among us. God sent his only son into the world so that we could find true life through him. This is the embodiment of true love. Not that we loved God first, but that he loved us and sent his unique son on a special mission to become an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So it says that we didn't do anything first. God completely initiated it, and he loved us so much that he gave Jesus up for us. So the second verse is a really common one. It's probably the most common verse in the Bible. It's John 3:16. But I want you guys to listen to this verse as though you've never, ever heard it before. It's not on the screen. It's not on your fill-in sheet. And I picked a different translation, so I really want you to just listen for the way that God is showing love to us. It says, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God shows us the exact way he wants us to show love. It says that God showed love like this. God showed us that he loved us in this way. He says that God said that he loves us so much that he's willing to sacrifice his son for us. We haven't done anything. We haven't first loved God like it talked about in 1 John. We didn't do anything. God did everything. And he loved us so much that he sacrificed something huge. And that's why love is demonstrated through sacrifice. Jesus describes it again. John 15, he says, no one has greater love than this, that someone would lay his life down for his friends. Jesus calls us out and he says, you might say you love somebody, but this is how you know if you really love them. This is the truest, greatest love, is if you're willing to die for somebody else. And that is really crazy to look at in our culture, right? Because we can say we love a lot of different things. Like, for instance, I love Lord of the Rings and I love The Hobbit. I did go see the midnight premiere with Ainsley on Thursday night. It was awesome. It was so good. And although I love those movies, I would not jump in front of a train for, like, Gandalf's character, you know? I wouldn't, that's not something that I think about. It's like, oh, yeah, between him and me, oh, yeah, no, I definitely, you know. That's not something we think about or, like, you know. How many of you guys really, like, I don't know, you love Taylor Swift, for instance? There's, like, four people in here. Perfect. I'm one of you. But it's like, if you love Taylor Swift, you love Kesha, you love One Direction, that's how old I am. Is I'm not even sure exactly. I'm not even that much older than you guys, but I still don't know what make you guys raise your hand. But even if for something you love, if you pick something that you love, you say you love, would you die for that? No, you guys are all like, Kyle, are you crazy? I wouldn't do that. That doesn't make any sense. But that's what Jesus says. He's like, if you truly love someone, if you truly care about somebody, that's how you're going to show love, is you're going to care about them so much that you'd be willing to give yourself up. And that's what God said in John 3:16. He says, God loved us in this way. God showed us, he demonstrated that love happens through sacrifice. Not necessarily that you always have to die every time you need to love somebody, but just that love shouldn't always just be something verbal. Love shouldn't always just be something we say. It should be something that we do and something that isn't always easy to do. Something that requires a little bit of sacrifice. So why does Jesus matter, ultimately? I think that Jesus matters because he changes the way that we see things. He completely changes our perspective on love, on how love is shown. He changes our perspectives on how we live our lives and how we see other people. And when God gives us Jesus, he shows us that love happens through sacrificing. Love is like this. Love is choosing the highest good for the other person or for someone else, even at great sacrifice to yourself. That's a definition of love I heard a few years ago and I still really like. Love is choosing the highest good for someone else, even at great sacrifice to yourself. Whatever sacrifice means to you, that's what love should look like. That's what God demonstrates for us. And I want you to think about the different relationships you have in your life real fast. Relationships with your friends, your family, your siblings, teachers, your boss, if you have a girlfriend or boyfriend. Out of people you interact with and people you say you love, is this how you operate? Do you choose the highest good for them? And if you say, oh yeah, I choose the highest good for them, will you choose the highest good for them if it means that you have to sacrifice something? And I've been thinking about it in my own life too, and it would be really interesting to see what our lives would actually look like if we loved this way. If we changed the way we saw people and we saw love and we started loving like this, it'd be crazy to see how our interactions and relationships would change with different people. So why does Jesus matter to you? That's what I'm going to close with today, is why does Jesus matter to you? So if you're a Christian in the room, I want you to think about this. So around this time of year, this time of Christmas, we make everything about ourselves. I mean, all of us do that. But for those of you who are Christians, I want you to think about, is Jesus enough for you? If you, this Christmas went by, for instance, and you got no presents, nobody acknowledged you, nobody cared, you actually got stuff taken away, and all you had left was Jesus, would that be enough for you? Because the answer we have to wrestle with is that the answer is probably no. And if you're just checking out this whole Jesus thing to begin with, I'd really encourage you to just start asking questions. Start trying to learn more and pursue the relationship. And I want you to think about what's one area of your life that you would love to see change? What's an area of your life that you would like to see something different happening? And then I'd